It is great to be here, and it's interesting as we just pray then for a moment, like across our church this morning, there are some of us that are in that fist pump moment of life. Something awesome happened this week and life is the best, and you can go right to the other extreme and you can be standing in church really reaching out to God with a troubled and hurting spirit and soul. How many people know that God is here for every person here this morning? Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, the Bible says, and that's what actually gets us through, other people who will walk with us. It's not the event that'll bring you undone, it's loneliness in the event. It's feeling alone in it. And if you're part of Thrive Church, you will not feel alone. I know that. Well, I want to bring a message this morning from Philippians 3. You know, Pastor Brad has mentioned that Philippians is the subject, the theme at the moment. And this is from a Philippians 3, which I believe is also where you're up to. But it's only one particular aspect of Philippians 3. So whether it will qualify as part of your series, I'm not sure. I'll have to leave that to Pastor Brad. But let's just turn in the scripture, get the foundation of this thing, and then there's a particular thing I want to zero in on. Philippians chapter 3, reading from verse 13. It is picking a moment out of this incredible chapter. And if you have a mental image of Paul sitting under house arrest near the Tiber River in Rome, and a chain attaching him to a watching Roman soldier. He's not actually, well, they call it house arrest. He was able to do stuff. It wasn't as severe as being in prison, but still, he's had his wings clipped. He can't go anywhere. And Philippians is one of the letters that he writes. So he's got time to think. He's got time to reflect. He writes very deliberately and very passionately. And we're just going to take a snippet out of it. As he says, verse 13, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature," how many mature people? How many people are a little bit too mature, just going off the ripe end to the other end of the... Brad, your pastor Brad is a little more mature this week, and that is a good thing. Anyway, those of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. We're all in the progress of becoming more mature, and what Paul is saying, wherever you're at, you might be just beginning the journey, you might have been on the journey for a long time. He's saying, wherever we're at, let's press on to still what's to be gained. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. The Invictus Games brought out the prince and princess, Harry and Meghan, and it was a big deal. And the cameras, how many people are royal fanatics here? Watched every moment of that. They could, yep, okay. We won't ask for the rest of you. You know, pagan, no good people who... Surprisingly, Amy is into the royal family, I would imagine. Anyway, Harry, talking to this little boy, a little five-year-old boy, and they're having this little conversation. And the interviewer took him aside afterwards and asked him the question and said, what did you say to Prince Harry? And the little boy said, I said to him, you were my role model. And it was kind of cute. I was really glad. It was a kind of a good moment. And I think that kid is a step up from having a NRL player as a role model. It always makes me laugh when they talk about NRL players as role models. I think, no, you're on drugs. That can't happen. Like, it's not happening. Or a rock star. So he actually nominates Prince Harry as his role model. That's a pretty good role model, I think. I don't really know Harry well enough to see what he's like under every circumstances, but in the whole scheme of things, not a bad choice as a role model. But in this passage that we just read, Paul is unashamedly nominating himself as a role model. And I kind of like that. I think, wow, that is a bit bold, and he must be actually talking about something that is pretty universally, applicable to all of us, for him to say, you need to be like me. You need to model your life on my life. That's basically what we just read. And he's declaring himself to be a role model. So, I mean, role models come and go. I don't know if you do have role models in your life, human role models, I mean, we can all say, yeah, Jesus is my role model. But sometimes it's good to have a more, accessible person there as well to watch. Some people, I was talking to one friend who said, I've got several role models in my life. I've got this person, he named the person, he said, they're my role model on parenting. If I want to learn something about parenting, they're my role model. Another role model is this person, and they're, if I want to know about finance, how to do finance, they're my role model. So he's actually rattled off about three or four people who played that role model component to their lives. It's not a bad thing to do, and actually, you don't have to become that person, but it's not a bad thing to do. But what is Paul particularly saying about his role modelling? And I would suggest to you, reading that whole passage and the tone of it, and if you read beyond what we read both before and after, I would say that he's talking about passion and purpose. And he's saying, I live my life with an incredible, white-hot passion and purpose. In our recent state conference, it was great to be able to hang out with my Thrive Church buddies. And one of the keynote services or meetings that we had at state conference, this was the subject of it. And the guy preached an amazing message about the difference between the goal and the prize, where Paul says, I press towards the goal to win the prize. That was awesome. It kind of actually impacted me incredibly. In fact, I've been thinking about that ever since. And this message that I'm going to bring to you today has flowed from that. It was kind of, how sometimes you can hear preaching and the preaching's okay, but the main thing about it is that it sparks you off into another direction that you begin to explore, and maybe that'll happen even today. You might think, well, that preaching was pretty ordinary, but nevertheless, it sparked my search in another direction. Maybe that's true. So Paul is declaring himself a good role model in terms of passion and purpose. We live in a pretty sick, messed up world. How many people can agree with that? Switch your TV on if you're not convinced about that, and you'll get it within about 10 seconds. Boom, there it is. And read the newspaper, listen to Parliament, listen to political debates or any sort of debates, and you'll realise that we're living in a pretty messed up world. They say that emotional disturbance and mental illness is the scourge of our generation. That along with, new types of drugs that just send people absolutely crazy and can have them addicted by one hit, and they're addicted, and that's right even through our regional towns and so on. So, yes, we live in a messed up world. And the main reason why we live in a messed up world is that people have lost a sense of purpose. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I look out at my world and I listen to people and I see what is happening, and I think you could wrap most of it up in that whole idea that people are living without purpose. And Paul comes along and he says, I'm a role model of purpose. I'm a role model of passion. If you grab hold, it doesn't have to be my purpose and my passion, but if you grab hold of purpose and passion, then your life will begin to take shape, and out of that will come fulfillment, out of that will come joy, out of that will come, I want to get up in the morning because I can't wait for the next day. That kind of living is the living sort of living that brings a mental health, emotional health, relational health. Everything else flows from that. And then he goes on to say, and I like this a little bit, and we had a bit of a joke about it a minute ago, but is he says, this is actually what marks a person of maturity. And he's talking about Christian maturity. Now, I don't know whether if somebody asked you, say you're in a Thrive group discussion, and they say, let's talk about Christian maturity. What do you think is the indication of Christian maturity? Well, people would come up with a lot of things. They'd probably say, you know the word, you pray, you do, you discipline life and blah, blah. And you could come up with a lot of things. But Paul is saying here, and I'm not saying that this is the only thing, but he is certainly nominating it as an absolutely core thing, that a mark of maturity is that you're living life with a sense of purpose. And there is passion in it. Now, amazingly, you can actually never get a sense of purpose. You can have a sense of purpose and then it dissipates, it goes somewhere along your life journey. You lose what you had, and it's starting to get ordinary, and even coming to church is kind of not as exciting as it used to be, and all that kind of stuff. And you begin to lose that sense of purpose. And the Apostle Paul is saying, don't let that happen. I just want to cross-reference this with something that Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. My question to all of us this morning is, what is your purpose? Do you know what it is? Would you be able to talk about it to somebody? Is it actually burning enough in you to actually be visible? If you said to somebody, that's my purpose, would they say, wow, I wouldn't have picked that? Or would they say, yes, that's how you live your life. It's not news to me. I can already see it, because passion and purpose do need to be visible. But this is what Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Because this is, our purpose is not the Apostle Paul's purpose. This is what I'm getting at this morning. We can't sit here thinking, yes, he's our role model. We're all going to be apostles. How cool will that be? That'll be great. No, his time is gone and he's fulfilled his purpose. But now here we are. That was great, Pastor Brad, praying for the Central Coast this morning. This is our turf. This is where we live. This is us. And to have a passion and a purpose that relates somehow to where we are, I think is a great thing. But listen to what Paul says. He says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're not wise. I like that. I don't understand it, but I like it. No, I do get it. He's saying it's a foolish thing to compare. Your purpose is not necessarily the same as the person sitting next to you. That's a pretty cool thing to get, you know, because sometimes you can look at people, especially if they're role models, you think, I've got to be like them. My passion's got to be the same as theirs. No, you actually don't compare with yourself. He says, we, however, do not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of surface that God himself has assigned to us. So there is a purpose for you that is God assigned. How awesome is that? And we don't always fully understand that. You might be still in the process of unpacking that and trying to get clarity on it, and that's part of the reason why I'm bringing you this message this morning, just to take you another step towards that. I'm not saying that all the lights are going to necessarily go on for you today, but if something goes on, something triggers in your heart, it'll be an awesome thing. He says, this sphere of service that God has himself assigned to us is a sphere that includes you. He's talking to the Corinthians church. So he's writing a letter, and I kind of get it, because I feel in a component of this, even in my own heart, towards you guys and Pastor Brad and Amy. There's a component, because we spent quite a bit of time with you and so on. Not all of you were here at that time, praise God. But nevertheless, there's a connection that happens when you do life together and you become part of God's assignment for each other, which is an awesome thing. You do church, you get knitted together and you become part of the passion of each other's lives. He says in verse 14, we are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. The sphere of service. Actually, the title of this message is Your Patch, Your Watch. Your patch, your watch. Everybody say, my patch, my watch. And it's real for all of you. So that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. I've got a patch. You're part of my patch. I've also got a watch. You know, Jesus, he goes off into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and you know, Michael mentioned this in communion this morning. That was awesome, Michael. You did a great job. And he comes back, and they're all asleep. What does he say to them? He said, you could not even watch for 1 hour. And then he said a very interesting thing. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh side of us will always try to divert us from passion. We'll always want to complicate it with other things, broaden the base. It's like when you get a hose and you turn the nozzle so you get that jet coming out really fast. That's how things are accomplished in life. You actually can turn it another way where the water just kind of blobs out, does nothing. If you're trying to hose the path, it's useless. It's not doing anything. And that's what the flesh side of us will do. It will try to actually make life so complex and so complicated that we actually miss the purposeful thing that God has assigned to us, a sense of purpose. So understanding our patch, understanding our watch, that is our season, I think. I will talk a bit. I just want to unpack those two words a little bit for the rest of this message. Actually, is the thing that we've been put on the planet for. And to get hold of that actually then generates in us a sense of purpose. Your patch, your watch, my patch, my watch. Let's talk about the patch. So the patch, a definition, I would say, is my sphere of influence and responsibility. That's my patch. It's for the Apostle Paul, I would say he would probably, if he was pushed to actually identify it a little bit more specifically than we just read, he'd probably say, my patch is to bring the gospel to the Gentile people. That was Paul's patch, even distinct from the other disciples and other leaders in the church. He actually wore that thing. He recognized himself as the apostle to the Gentiles. Actually, we're in the kingdom mostly because Paul was faithful to his patch. How good is that? And there'll be people in the kingdom if we're faithful to our patch as well. So three things that your pastor, this is just to help you because I you live long enough, as Chad and I have. We're so ancient. No, not really. But we've actually had different patches in our lives. Like your life is not necessarily the same patch. If you're relatively new to Thrive Church, then you would have had a church patch in another setting and in another sphere. And sometimes when one patch stops, it can be really tricky to find your next patch. And you can come and you can come to church and you can sit and think, oh, this is awesome, but it's not quite there yet because you haven't yet found the patch. And so maybe some of the thoughts we have today might help you say, you know what, that's how I'm wired up. That's the thing that flicks my switch. I wonder if there's a place there in that patch for me. And if you start to think that way, my recommendation is you go and have a conversation with these two guys, and I'm sure that things will open up for you. So my patch, I think, has a sense of location. I've got three things here. Location is the first thing. It's geography. There's a patch for you. So I know William Carey, he went to India, spent 40 years in India, made that his patch. At the end of 40 years, he had one convert. Now, I don't know how if you're wired up so that you would need a little bit more coming through than that to keep you in the patch, you know. But what a guy. I kind of admire him so much. And now right through India, the gospel, because at the end of his watch over his patch, not a lot had done. Not a lot had happened. But then since then, the gospel has taken off and all the Indian call centre people, who we all love, don't we? Yes. But in that demographic of India, the gospel is exploding. People coming to Christ everywhere because there was a guy who made India his patch. I don't care about India. Don't come and stone me if you love it. But it's not, I mean, I love it. I shouldn't have said it that way. It sounded a little bit too harsh. I love it. But it's not my patch. My patch is the Central Coast, to be honest. Like, I just think this is the most... That's why I love what you did this morning, Brad, in praying for our city. Central Coast is it? Who else... Who would want to live anywhere else but the Central Coast? We've got it all. And absolutely. So, to me... And it's been like that for quite a long years, probably for the last 40 or 50 years. That's how I've felt. Like, even when I go down to Sydney, I start to get nervous as you go across the Hawkesbury Bridge. And when I'm coming back, I think, ah, my patch. I'm back in my patch. So it does involve location. And I think it'd be an awesome thing for you if you personally knew that you were in the right place. The place. You know, I know to find that sometimes it can mean relocating, you know, and I'm not here to prophesy over anybody and actually tell you what your patch will be in that kind of way. I'm just actually stirring your thoughts to ask the question, am I in the right place? Is this my patch? Location. The second thing is that my patch involves people. You don't go to a location to preach to the trees. It's all about people, isn't it? Like, so it's not just the Central Coast, but it's the people of the Central Coast and every demographic of those people in the Central Coast. And different times, God will focus in on one particular group of people. And, you know, Joe and I went through a season in our lives who the only real people that we thought were our patch was anybody between about 16 and 25. And we didn't care too much about old people or anything. Yeah, whatever. You turn up if you want to. But then we'd kind of get really focused and excited about a particular demographic. Now, I'm not saying that that's for everybody. All I'm saying is find your peeps. Find the people who flick your switch. It may be kids. It may be older people. I hope for some of you it is older people. but to find the people that act, and you, I'll tell you in a minute how to help you find your patch if you're actually not too sure. But the third thing is that your patch involves a cause. It's not just the location. It's not even just the people. There's a cause. And I was tossing up whether to use the word cause or mission. Doesn't matter. They both work for me, to be honest. But it's not just for Joan and I in that season where, I mean, part of that grew out of me being a high school teacher for a lot of years and whatever. So I got very connected to that age group. I actually loved teaching, and I loved teaching in a high school and whatever. So when we went to do the church up at Charm Haven, that thing carried through with me. And so there was kind of a natural explanation for it. But it wasn't just that I wanted to hang out with those kids or even, you know, for them to want to hang out with me. It wasn't about that. I wanted to actually get them in the kingdom. So it was very, very specifically targeted. And not that I buttonholed them every time I saw them, but my long term, I had a cause going here. And I'm going to take them canoeing, and I'm taking them mountain climbing, I'll take them horse riding, I'll take them sail, I'll do anything. We used to take them skiing and spend a whole day skiing, and when they're all too tired to object, we'd have a meeting and I'd tell them about Jesus, and they're all saying, I just want to go to bed. No, you've got to hear about Jesus first. and so it's quite focused. Mission. See, Paul's passion didn't just involve a location, didn't just involve a people, but it was quite missionally driven. And I encourage you to think that way. Of course, there are many secondary causes that can be attached, because the Bible actually tells us what our main mission is. There's one thing we can actually say. Well, it's easy for me to say, well, it's unique. You've all got a different mission. You've all got your own mission, and so on. But there is one area that the Bible actually doesn't give us much wriggle room on, because he says, number one, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations. That's the mission. That's the cause. You can pick the location and the people, but I'm giving you the cause. That's what he said. There's not a whole lot of wriggle room. But then to actually make that happen, it can actually broaden out a long way. And I was just thinking about, I wondered who had started Lifeline, because I thought, that's a pretty powerful thing for people in need and emotional turmoil or whatever, to be able to ring a number, talk to somebody, whatever, awesome thing. It was actually founded by Reverend Alan Walker, I think in 1968 or sometime like that. And it became his mission, if you like. His patch started to zero in on hurting people. And he thought, if we can only get a phone number that they can call, we may be able to help some people. And so they did that. But it was under the umbrella of the overall mission of getting people in the kingdom. And that can apply to lots and lots of things that we do. The watch. Let's talk about the watch. It's not about the watch that tells the time, but it does actually carry a sense of timing. Your watch is the period in which you take responsibility for your patch. It doesn't last forever. You don't have to get locked into a watch and think I'm stuck forever. But my advice to you would be to don't cut it too short either, because sometimes things can take some time. They say, I was reading a little bit of research, they reckon the time for the average person to serve in church now is about 12 months, and people want out. kids' church. I do kids' church 12 months. I'm burnt out. I need to stop. And I'm not. I don't know what's going on here. So that's not a swipe at anybody. Or you can come up and accuse me later if you want to. But it's not. I just sort of wow. That's pretty amazing that it's so, we get so short term. But literally, it doesn't last forever. I mean, Joan and I are not doing the church up at Charm Haven anymore. And in fact, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you, maybe I need to get to it because time's ebbing away, but I'm sort of very involved in this message because when we passed our church on at Charm Haven, the next Sunday, we didn't know where to go to church. And that thing had, for 20 years... That was so clearly our patch. And we actually sat on our back veranda and cried. And we kind of felt like we'd lost our patch. So I want to actually talk to you. If you feel like you've lost your patch, you had it, but you lost it. And I couldn't really blame anybody else because we didn't get fired. We quit. And I think, what an idiot. What did I do that for? But... In time, out of that struggle, God presented us with another patch and another patch and another patch, and one of those patches was here. And that's why I to live to praise God for those struggle moments where you're actually trying to thread your patch out, and sometimes it's not all that easy, but if you see the distance, God will bring it to you. And you'll find that the best days are still happening out there. I said three things about the patch. So now three things about the watch. The watch has a trust factor. The scripture, Jesus said, Mark 13:34, it's like a man going away and he leaves his house and puts his servants in charge. Keep watch over my house. Each with their assigned task, their patch. And he says, and he tells the one at the door to keep watch. So he's trusting us, people. When Jesus ascended and he disappeared up into the clouds, he said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And where his plan A, B, C to Z, he's trusting us. It's our watch. This came home to me a lot when Billy Graham died, and I thought, wow, what a loss to the planet for that guy, that giant, to go. And it's like when God spoke to Moses, to Joshua, and he says, well, Moses is dead now. It's your job. Take him in. Take him in. And like it or not, God is trusting us for the next phase of kingdom building on the Central Coast and in our nation around the world. We're it. This is our watch. There is a trust factor. Number two, there's a time factor. As long as it is day, John 4:9-4, we must do the works of him who sent me. The night is coming when no man can watch, that can work. We're all ready to do it, but not yet. Well, wait till I finish this course. Or wait till I've had my kids. Or wait till I have kids. I wait till the kids leave home. And we keep putting off, actually grabbing hold of our assigned task. And I'm here to say, come on, do it now. While you've got the chance, because time passes pretty quickly and if you miss it. My watch has a reward factor. I like this bit. And his master replied, Matthew 25:21, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. All of this, what I've been talking to you about, ends with an incredible crescendo of reward. And that reward is so multifaceted. A lot of it is just inside us knowing we did it. You get that fist pump at the end of it saying, we did it. We got through that. We actually managed that. And if you're in the middle of a tough time now and the battle is raging around you and so on, I say hang in there, be strong, of a good courage, and you'll get to that fist pump moment. So how do I find my patch and my watch? What time do we finish? Like about 10 minutes ago? Okay. I'll just bullet point this. you listening to this and you're thinking, well, to be honest, I'm not sure about my patch. I'm not even sure about my watch. If that's really in your heart, I would love to pray with you after we service. Don't go away. Just come, hang around down here. I'd love to pray for you because I've been there. I've been in those moments where you think, what on earth are we going to do now? And you kind of feel lost to grab hold of something. I'd love to pray for you. But here's three clues. Number one, find a need and meet it. Just look around. So what needs to be done? Not hard, really. You think, in the meantime, it may not be the super-duper final thing, but if you actually begin to lay hold of things that need to be done, out of that will come a clarity and suddenly it'll be there. Number two, follow your passion. So if you hate kids and kids hate you, don't sign up for kids' church. Or, there's a clue. If you can't sing in tune... No, don't be up here. Like there's better places for you. So follow your passion, follow your gift. You could say more about that, but anyway, pressing on. And number three is to hear God's invitations. When you read the Bible, you discover that God actually approaches people and gives them their patch. That's pretty cool when he does that. You can light on your own patch, but if you listen to God's invitations, then sometimes God's invitations, they don't always come from a burning bush. All right, they don't always come from a voice from heaven. You think, whoa. Sometimes it comes out of your mouth of your pastor. Sometimes it comes out of the mouth of your leader who says, you know what? I reckon you'd be awesome at this. Why don't you pray about doing this? Out of that invitation comes a clarity. And when you get it, don't be like Jonah and say, no, I don't want that patch. I'm running in the other direction. What an idiot. Anyway, pressing on. Keep the main thing the main thing. We all end up with lots of patches in our lives. You've got family patches, you've got career patches, you've got sports patches, you've got music commitment patches and whatever. In the end, Jesus says, keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom, then every other patch will come into its place and it'll all be cool. We all get interrupted in our patches. Jesus was going on. He had a patch. He was going to heal Jairus' daughter. Along the way, there's this woman that comes, joins the crowd, and she won't let him move, and she's elbowing her way through the crowd. Oh, I'm going to just touch the hem of his garment, and Jesus is probably thinking, yeah, but I'm busy. Go away, woman, you know. But she's desperate, and out of that comes one of the most amazing stories in the gospel of a person who was desperate enough to reach Jesus that she wouldn't quit and she interrupted him. Some of your best patch moments are going to be when you get interrupted from the patch, you know, kind of you're doing your patch and suddenly something else turns up. So don't turn away, be too ready to turn away from that. Just bow your heads right where you are. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you that you came to the planet with a very clear sense of purpose. Our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save me, the lost. I'm so glad that you were so passionate about that, so committed to it, Father, that you found me, you found us. So, Father, we pray that as your followers, we will reflect that same single-minded passion. We'll find our niche, find our patch. Lord, I pray for every person here this morning who feels a little lost in their patch, not really quite nailing it. Father, I pray that you'll switch lights on for them and you will speak to them. Maybe when they open the word or in their quiet moments of reflection, your Holy Spirit will begin to speak to them. Father, I pray that you'll lift up people who did have a patch and circumstances or somebody else destroyed their patch on them. Lord, I pray that you'll cause them to rise up again and live again and be passionate again. Be passionate one more time for the sake of the gospel. Father, I thank you for every person.